We're going to look together at the opening verses of that psalm we read earlier, Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Did you ever watch that TV program called 999? It ran for 11 years and it reenacted dramatic rescues that had taken place. For instance, a group of boys go climbing the cliff face at the seaside. One falls to the rocks below and is badly injured. He can't move. The tide is coming in fast. The rescuers can't reach him from the beach. The lifeboat can't reach him from the sea. The helicopter comes in, and with nerves of steel, the pilot brings the helicopter within inches of the cliff face. The winch man is lowered down, and the injured boy is snatched away to safety. That was the kind of thing shown on the 999 program. It had high audience ratings. People love to hear about these dramatic rescues. I want to tell you this evening about a dramatic rescue. Every true Christian knows about it. God has done a great rescue job in our lives. A rescue far more amazing than anything ever shown on television. Once we were in terrible danger, but the Lord has rescued us and saved us. And I want to look at that rescue with you this evening. Now David, who became the most famous king of Israel, describes this rescue in Psalm 40 and verse 1. David describes himself as being at the bottom of a pit. Obviously, he's talking in poetic language. As far as we know, David was never in a literal pit. But in those days, muggers would attack a man, rob him of his money, and then throw him down a disused well shaft to die. It was an awful thing. And David takes hold of that picture and uses it to describe his spiritual condition before he became a believer. Down in a horrible, slimy pit. Can you think of anything more terrible than being trapped in a deep pit, a disused well shaft, the bottom of which is thick with slime and mud, and you can't get out? That's a picture of how we all were before we became Christians. That's a picture of how you still are, my friend, if you are not a Christian. What does it mean to be down in a horrible pit? First of all, it means that before we become Christians, we are dirty in the sight of God. The person who's fallen down a disused well shaft, the person who's been thrown down there with a lot of mud at the bottom, is going to be very, very dirty. And that's our spiritual condition if we're not Christians. Spiritually dirty and guilty and defiled by sin. You may not like me for saying that, and I can quite understand that. That's how I felt when I first heard that I was a guilty sinner in the sight of God. I was annoyed. Who is this fellow talking to me like that? But I knew in my heart of hearts it was true. I'd broken God's law so many, many times, and so have we all. Not just blatant things like immorality and stealing, things like that, but more subtle things like pride and selfishness and greed. We've all broken God's laws. Worst of all, we've all pushed God into the background of our lives and have lived as though he didn't exist. I look back on my life before I became a Christian, and it fills me with shame, the sin and the bitterness and the wretchedness. One of the things I hate most is the bitterness. I desperately wanted to go into the sixth form at the City of Norwich School, but my parents were very poor. and they couldn't afford to buy another school blazer. My father worked hard to pay the rent to a crook of a landlord, and there was no money left for school clothes, so I had to leave school and get out to work and earn some money to keep the family together. And I felt bitter that I had to do that while these other kids had everything handed to them on a plate. I had to go and work 50 hours a week. And in my bitterness, I got involved in many, many wrong things. And we're all guilty of sin in the sight of God. We've all sinned and wallowed in sin. And the worst and dirtiest of all sins is to defy God, our Maker, and to ignore Him and to live as though He was not there. Dirty? Yes, and in danger. The person down in the slimy mire at the bottom of the well shaft is in danger. He's sinking deeper and deeper into the mire, and if something doesn't happen soon, he will die. He'll starve to death, or die of exposure, or just choke and drown in the mud and the mire at the bottom of the pit. He's in terrible danger. And that's how we are before we become Christians, in danger of perishing in our sin and going to hell. You see, this world is not all there is. This life is not all there is. One day, we've got to die, all of us. And it may come sooner than we think. And beyond death, there's the judgment of Almighty God. All of us must face it. All of us will face it. And beyond that judgment, there's an eternity to be faced. Either an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. You say, I don't believe such nonsense. Richard Dawkins doesn't believe it, and neither do I. Well, in the final issue, it doesn't matter one hoot what Richard Dawkins believes or doesn't believe. The important thing is this: what does Almighty God say? What has Almighty God determined? And God says He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. That is fixed. That's in God's diary. A day in which He will judge the world. And every day you live, my friend, you're a day nearer the end. And a day nearer the judgment of God, when He'll usher you into your eternal destiny. And if we're not Christians, we're in danger of going to this terrible place called hell. Then this poor fellow down the well shaft is not only dirty and in danger, he or she is desperate. In this sense, they are trapped and they cannot save themselves. They're up to their knees, up to their waist, in thick mud. It's got hold of them and they can't get free. That's how we were before we became Christians. That's how we are if we're not Christians, unable to save ourselves. I remember in the days before I became a Christian, I knew it was wrong to curse and swear so much. I knew it was wrong to lie and cheat and steal and do other vile things that I was doing. I tried hard to give it up, but I couldn't, because I was trapped. The more I tried to lift myself out of the mire, the deeper I seemed to sink into it. And that's still the position of any person who's not a Christian, in the grip of sin, trapped. It's one of the biggest problems confronting Great Britain tonight. The drug addiction, the rise in binge drinking, the collapse of morals, the rise in sexually transmitted diseases, the greed of the bankers, the number of people on the fiddle in the business world, in politics, the lust for pornography, the salacious craving many people have to read about the sex lives of these famous stars. That's all part of being gripped by sin. We see it all around us. Often the politicians announce some new measure that they propose to take to deal with these problems. but many of them are trapped by sin just as much. In the mire and trapped there and can't get out. You see what a desperate plight it is. This man down the pit cannot save himself. He can't get out of the mud. And then, even if he could just clamber out of the mud, he can't climb that well shaft. He may make strenuous efforts and make a little progress, but then he falls back deeper than ever. That's a picture of the desperate hopelessness and helplessness of the non-Christian. He's down in the mire of sin, dirty in the sight of God, in terrible danger, and he cannot save himself. He hasn't got the power. Even if he makes a superhuman effort, he can't extricate himself from the position. My friend, that's your position if you're not a Christian. It's a sheer impossibility to save yourself. Some religious people tell you, try harder. Even in my most rebellious days, I used to go to church on a Sunday evening, and the minister there, most weeks, nice man, but he said, try harder. Make resolutions. Try to do better. Try to live a better life. But he didn't know how deep the pit I was in, and he didn't realize how helpless I was. We cannot save ourselves. Well, there we are. That's a picture of the wretched, rotten state we were in before we became Christians. That's a picture of the state you're in, my friend, if you are not a Christian. These 999 programs on television began by describing the terrible position in which the victim was. And they did that to help you to see how wonderful the rescue was. You can only appreciate the wonder of the rescue, the brilliance of the rescue, if you realized how terrible the plight of the victim before the rescue took place. So we've seen how we were before we were rescued. Dirty, in danger, desperate. But now having seen that, let's see the rescue. The Lord has rescued us. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The Lord, if we're Christians, has rescued us from the grip of sin. There we were, down in the mire. It had us trapped. It was dragging us down. We tried hard to get free. We made our resolutions. We tried hard to pull ourselves up by our own bootlaces, but we couldn't do it. But the Lord has rescued us from that. He's rescued us from the grip of sin. I mentioned just now, every Sunday night, this man who was the minister told us to try harder and to do our best. And if we did our best, we'd be better people. And if we did our best, we'd get to heaven and so forth. And that was hopeless, hopeless. But then one Sunday, a visiting preacher came along who struck a different note. He told us of someone who could actually rescue us. And that was a wonderful day in my life when I heard that there was someone who could rescue me. And all of us who are Christians here, we've been rescued from the grip of sin by our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, he can do the same for you tonight. You're in the grip of some sin. I don't know what it is. Pride or jealousy or greed or selfishness, immorality, pornography, I don't know. Just ignoring God. You're gripped by sin. It's my privilege to be able to tell you that the Lord himself can rescue from the grip of sin. Then he's rescued us from the guilt of sin. There we were, guilty, defiled, dirty, because of sin. When you're rescued from a pit, when you're lifted up out of a disused well shaft, You're dirty. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us from the guilt of sin as well. He's cleansed away all that filth. He's cleansed away all that guilt. He's made us clean in the sight of God. All those years of ignoring God. All those years of living for ourselves. All those years of pride and arrogance and selfishness. All those years of evil thoughts. He's washed all of that clean away. He saved us and rescued us from the guilt of sin. And then, as Christians, he's rescued us from danger. He's rescued us from perishing. We've been rescued from certain doom. There we were, perishing, dying, on the way to hell. But the Lord has rescued us from that terrible, terrible danger. David puts it all like this in this dramatic way. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He rescued me from the grip of sin. And he rescued me from the guilt of sin. And he rescued me from danger. And he can do the same for you this evening if you trust in him. Can I tell you how the Lord Jesus Christ did that? Did you notice what David said here? He also brought me up out a horrible pit. He brought me up. And the picture there is of a rescuer going down into the pit, a rescuer being lowered down the well shaft and taking hold of the poor wounded victim and bringing him up out of the pit. And that's a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in order to rescue us. He came down from heaven. He came down into the filthy pit of sin. He came down the well shaft and rescued us. Now, in the New Testament, the second part of the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, this 40th Psalm is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into this world. In other words, it tells us that Christ left heaven and came to this foul, evil world. He came down into the pit. He came down the well shaft. Now, most other religions stand at the top of the well shaft, the top of the pit, and shout instructions down to us. Most other religions shout instructions down. Go to Mass more. Go to the temple more. Go to the mosque more. Go to church more. Go to chapel more. Try harder. Most other religions stand at the top and shout instructions down to us. And they don't realize how deep the pit is and we can't get out. The wonder of the Christian faith is this. It tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven. He came down to this sinful world. He came down the well shaft, down the pit, and took hold of us and brought us up out. That's the rescue. Now, every rescuer who goes down a pit shaft to rescue someone gets dirty. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he took upon himself our sin. He never sinned himself. He never did anything evil. But he became dirty in the sense that our sin was put upon him. Any rescuer going down the well shaft will get bruised and injured, battered. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, was bruised. He was injured. He was wounded. He was actually killed, put to death, to bear the punishment of our sin in our place. That's how he rescued us. By leaving the bliss of heaven, by coming into the sinful world, coming down the pit, being bruised, taking upon himself our sin, being punished for our sin in our place. He's taken hold of us and brought us up out of the pit. We sang about that a few minutes ago. In loving kindness, Jesus came. my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, in love he lifted me. He can do that for you tonight. He died upon the cross. He was bruised in order to bear the punishment of sin, in order that you might be rescued from this terrible pit, from the guilt and the grip of sin. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has done more than that for us. He's not only rescued us from danger, he's put us in a very safe place if we're Christians. And if you become a Christian tonight, he'll put you in a very safe place. David puts it like this. He set my feet upon a rock. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Now, if you rescue someone from a deep pit, they've been down there several days, and they're very unbalanced. They're very dizzy. They're very weak. So when you bring them up out of the pit, when you rescue them, you need to stand them on some very firm ground. Else they'll fall back down the pit. You need to put them in a safe place. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, he put us in a safe place. You see, we're so weak. Even as Christians, we're so weak. Left to ourselves, we'd fall back down that pit. You may say, if I became a Christian tonight, would I be able to keep it up? If I became a Christian tonight, I feel I would sort of fall back. I'm such a weak person. Well, left to yourself, you would fall back. Left to yourself, you wouldn't keep it up. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saves someone from the pit, he puts them in a safe place and watches over them and cares for them. He puts them on a rock. The Bible says he himself is the rock. He keeps you safe and secure. Can I say something more about that? There are some Christians who say today that it's okay for the Christian, indeed it's good for the Christian, to watch these filthy, slimy films that people are watching, to watch these filthy, slimy things on videos and DVDs and so forth, download pornography. It's okay for the Christian to do that. It'll help him to see how the other half lives. But if you've been rescued from a pit, if you've been brought up out of the mud, your desire will be to keep as far away from the pit as you possibly can. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll keep you safe. He'll keep you on solid ground. But then something else. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, he does more than that. He does more than put our feet on firm ground. He actually puts our feet in the right direction. We read here, he set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. And the idea is this. He puts us facing in the right direction. He puts us walking along the right path. When you bring someone up on the pit, out of the pit, you've got to sort of direct them in the right way. If not, they'll walk straight back down the pit. And the Lord Jesus Christ has not only rescued us from the pit if we're Christians, he's put our feet walking in the right direction. We're now on our way to heaven. We're now on our way to glory. We were in terrible danger at one time. We were down there in the pit and fast going to hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ has not only saved us from all of that, he's now put our feet facing in the right direction on the way to heaven. One further thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for those of us who are Christians. One further thing he can do for you tonight if you become a Christian. David says he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Now those 999 programs on television always ended with the rescued victim singing the praises of the rescue services. How wonderful the fire brigade was. How wonderful the ambulance men. How amazing the men on the lifeboat. How amazing the helicopter winch man. What great men, and they praised the rescuers for all they were worth. And now that we're Christians, we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Our greatest joy, really, is to praise him because he's done such wonderful things for us. As Christians, we have our bad times. We have our sad times. We have our times of worry and anxiety. But there's a new song in our hearts. We want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ because he came from heaven to rescue us from this terrible, terrible pit. The songs I sang before I became a Christian were lewd and crude. The songs we sing now that we're Christians are wonderful. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like you his praise should sing? And David says, many will see it. If you're a Christian, people should see that you are a Christian. They should see that you've got a joy. They should see that you've been rescued. And that will have a great effect upon them. Well, there we are. Have you been rescued, my friend? Have you been rescued from the guilt and grip and danger of sin? If you have, praise God. Sing this new song, this hymn of praise to God. Let other people see that something amazing has happened in your life. Because something wonderful has happened. He's brought you up out of a horrible pit. He set you on a rock. He put a new song into your mouth. If you haven't been rescued, cry out to the Lord to rescue you. You're dirty. You're in danger. You're desperate. You can't save yourself. Cry out to the Lord to rescue you. David did that, he says. I waited patiently for the Lord, literally, waiting, I waited. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. David realized he was in dire straits. That the only thing he could do was to wait for the Lord to save him. But he didn't just wait. He cried to the Lord to save him. He pleaded with the Lord to save him. He said, Lord, I'm in a desperate situation. I'm guilty, I'm in danger, I'm in a desperate situation. Please save me, please rescue me. And that is what we must do. In other words, my friend, realize that you are a sinner. Realize that you're in dire straits. Realize that because of your sin and rebellion, you're dirty in the sight of God. Realize you can never save yourself. Never. Never in a million years. Realize that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the only person who can rescue you. And plead with him to do so. If you like, you can use the words of our last hymn, which we're going to sing in a moment or two. The author was a man called Augustus Toplady. And the story goes, some people dispute the story, but the story goes that he was walking one day through Buddington Coombe in Somerset and was caught in a violent storm. And he sheltered in the cleft of a rock. That inspired him to write the hymn, Rock of Ages, which is a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be for sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. You see, that's your problem, my friend, if you're not a Christian. The guilt of sin, its dirtiness, and the power of sin, it grips you. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill your Lord's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin cannot atone. You must save. and you alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress. Helpless look to you for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Let me tell you of a man who did cry out like that. In Burrington Coombe, where Augustus Toplady sheltered, there's an inscription engraved on the rock informing passers-by about that hymn. That inscription was carved by a man named Orlando Dennis. He's not very happy with the inscription because the local authority made him do it on the wrong kind of stone. But by the way, Orlando Dennis was a first-class stonemason who had a very prosperous business. He used to go to Florence and Rome and Venice, advising them there on the restoration of their historic buildings and so on. One Sunday in about 1990, Orlando Dennis came to a church in Clevedon, in Somerset. Actually, he was the elder of another church where they never heard the gospel. But he decided out of curiosity one Sunday to come to a church where the gospel was preached. And he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard that he was a sinner. He heard that he couldn't save himself. He heard that Jesus Christ was the only person who could save him because Jesus Christ had died upon the cross bearing the penalty of sin. And he was very, very angry. He stormed out of church. He refused to shake my hand. And he was very, very angry. Who does this fellow think he is talking to me about sin? Just a few weeks later, he collapsed in terrible pain in the hallway of his house. He lived alone. He thought he was dying, and he was scared. And he cried out to the Lord as he lay on the floor in the hallway. Lord, he said, if what that preacher said is true, if I am a guilty sinner, and I realize I am, and if Jesus Christ is the only one who can save me, then, Lord, I beg you, please rescue me and please save me. Then he quoted the words of the hymn that he'd read so many times when he was carving this inscription. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. And Orlando Dennis became a Christian. A new man. A song of praise in his heart from now on. And when he died, about a year and a half later, he went straight to be with the Lord in heaven. That's what we're talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person in the whole universe who can rescue us. Because he left heaven and came down that pit getting bruised, actually dying, to bear the punishment that we deserved. And he takes hold of us when we trust in him. And he brings us up out of that pit and puts us in a safe place.